This week's parsha is Parshas Vayechi, and here Yaakov Avinu passes away, and after they come back to Egypt, we'll pick up the story on chapter 50, pasuk number 15. It says, "Vayiru achei Yosef," the brothers of Yosef saw kimeis aviem, that their father died. "Vayomer," and they said, "Lu yistimeni Yosef." But surely Yosef will nurse hatred against us. V'hashev Yosef lanu eskol ha'ra'a shagomanu oisoi. And he will return, in other words, he'll repay us all the evil that we did to him. In other words, now that Yaakov Avinu is dead, they think maybe Yosef will now take revenge for them selling him. When Yaakov is alive, Yosef doesn't want to cause pain to Yaakov, so he doesn't do anything. But now that Yaakov is dead, the brothers are afraid maybe Yosef will start taking revenge for them selling him or for them throwing them into the pit. So it says, Vayiru achei Yosef. Normally we could understand Vayiru as they understood, but the Daza Kenin Baal Tosfos gives a little more details. Daza Kenin Baal Tosfos says that when Yosef was coming back from the funeral, he made a point to pass by the pit where he was thrown, and he made a bracha, the blessing, that when you are safe from a certain place, if you have a very bad accident, every time you pass by that accident, you're supposed to say, "Thank you, Hashem, that you made me a miracle in this place." They saw Yosef making a point to go to the pit where he was thrown, and he made the bracha, she'osol ines b'mokem hazeh. They thought that Yosef still hates him. Therefore, vayiru, they saw achei Yosef, the brothers of Yosef, kimeis aviem, that the father died, and that portion is missing, that they saw that he went to the pit and he made the bracha. So therefore, they came up with the idea that lu yistimeinu Yosef, that Yosef maybe hates us. And they said what is written in Pasuk number 16, that your father Yaakov said before his death, that so you should say to Yosef, Ana sona pesha achecho v'chatosom, please kindly forgive the sins of your brothers and their spiteful deed. Kiro gemalucho, they did you evil. Ve'ato, and now, sona lepesha avde elokei avicha, please forgive to the sins of the slaves of the God of your master. Vayevk Yosef, and Yosef cried, but Dabram Elav, when they speak to him. So basically they are saying that Yaakov Avinu told, as asked Yosef before his death, to please forgive the brothers. Rashi on this pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu really did not say this to the brothers, that the brothers should tell Yosef that he should forgive them. Rashi says why? Because Yosef was not suspect as not to forgiving the brothers in Yaakov Avinu's eye. And that's why, according to this Mefarshim, Yosef cries that the brothers were choshed him, that the brothers suspected him for not forgiving them or for acting bad towards them. That's what caused Yosef to cry. But other Mefarshim bring down that Yaakov Avinu never found out that the brothers are the ones that threw Yosef into the pit. He may have found out that Yosef was sold to Egypt, because obviously that is a story that was told, but he may have never found out that the brothers are the ones who actually threw into the pit, and they are the ones actually, or maybe, who sold them. And they explain that that is the reason that in the beginning of the parsha, on chapter 48, pasuk number 1, there it says, "Vayachar dvarim o'ele," after these things, "Vayomer le'Yosef," was told to Yosef, "Hine avicha choyle," behold, your father is sick. The Gemara learns that until Yaakov there was no sickness, a person just sneezed and he died. Yaakov prayed that a person should be able to put his affairs in order before he dies, or a person should be given a chance to do tshuva and not die suddenly. And the Rashbam explains that we get it from the word Hinei. Every time he says, behold, the Rashbam says on Parshas Vayetze, chapter 29, Pasuk 25, Vahi baboiker v'ine hi Leia, and in the morning, and behold is Leia, where Yaakov works for Rachel, and Laban switches the wife, says in the morning, and behold, it's Leah. So the Rashbam says, "Bedavar shenoy datchila, anything that wasn't known before, oimer vehine." He says, and behold, that everything, something was changed from before, that's when we say hine. So they explain that that's pshat in this pasuk, that hine avicha choyle, behold, your father is sick, something that never happened before. Until Yaakov, never happened that a person is sick. And now, because Yaakov's prayer, Hine, Avicha Choyle, your father is sick. Pasuk number 2, the Pasuk says, Vayaged LeYaakov, was told to Yaakov, Vayomer Hine, Mincha Yosef, Boyelecho, behold, your son Yosef is coming to you. So there they ask a question, if according to the Rashbam, every time the word says Hine, is a change from where it was, what is this Hine, what is this behold, that Yosef is coming? And they explain, that Yosef's coming, that is the change. That Yosef never came to visit his father just to visit. Because Yosef was afraid that his father is going to ask him what happened to him, and he didn't want to tell his father. That's why it's written the word Hine, behold, Yosef is coming. That Yosef is coming without being summoned. Something that is new, something that was never before. He always came when you ask for him, but he never just came to visit, even though he's not being summoned. He only came when you called for him. So Hine, behold, Yosef is coming to visit you. So you see, according to this, that Yaakov never knew that Yosef was sold. Yaakov never knew that the brothers sold Yosef. Also, the Kli Yaakov brings down by Geshuno Eli on Parshas Vayigash, where Yosef says, come close to me. On chapter 45, Pasuk number 4, the Kli Yaakov says that he wouldn't even tell Binyamin what happened to him because he didn't want to speak Lashon Hara. And the Kli Yaakov says clearly, Vafilo Lahaviv lo higit klum, that Yosef never told anything to his father. So then, obviously, when they said that Yaakov Avinu said to forgive the brothers, that Yosef should forgive the brothers for the sin, obviously, that is not true. So therefore, Rashi says, from here you learn that Shinu Badavar, they changed the thing with Pnei HaSholom because of the peace. That they made up this whole story because of peace. That you're allowed to change and say something that it wasn't because of peace. The brothers were afraid that Yosef would kill him or would do something bad to them. So therefore, they lied. In the sake of peace, in the sake that they shouldn't get hurt, they lied. We learn from Parshas Vayera, where Sarah laughs after the angels tell her that she's going to have a child. And she laughs and she says that after I am withered, again I will have delicate skin and my husband is old. And Hashem comes to Abraham and says, why did Sarah laugh saying that she is old? And not that she said that Abraham is old. So from here we learn that you could meshana, you could change, or you could omit because of peace. And the brothers learned it from Hashem. Since we see that Hashem omitted or lied because of peace, so too they decided that they are allowed to lie because of peace. But the question is, how can you compare those two things? There Hashem lied, but there was no benefit to Sarah. And here the brothers lying was a benefit to themselves. Are you allowed to lie when it benefits yourself? When somebody asks you something, if it's true or not, are you allowed to say it's not true? Are you allowed to just lie to save yourself? Shalom bais. I understand that you could lie to save somebody else and to make peace for somebody else. But are you allowed to lie to save your shalom bais or your peace, and you should not be punished or not be hurt? And the answer is that this is inconclusive. that the fact that the brothers lied not necessarily means that they lied because of themselves, that they lied for themselves. Each brother could be lying on behalf of the other. In other words, Reuven didn't want Shimon to be punished, so Reuven lied in order to save Shimon, and Shimon didn't want Reuven to be punished, so Shimon lied to save Reuven. But the fact that they all lied for the sake of peace doesn't necessarily mean that you're allowed to lie when it regards you. It means here that you're allowed to lie when it's to save somebody else. But what happens if you lie to save yourself? Somebody asks that you do this and this and this. Do you have to say yes or no? It's inconclusive from here. You cannot bring proof from here that you're allowed to lie even to save your own skin, like the brothers did, because here could be they lying to save somebody else's skin. In Pasuk 19, after the brothers tell Yosef what the father said, Yosef answers, Vayomer aleim Yosef. Yosef says to them, Al tirou, do not be afraid. Ki atachas Elohim anoi, am I instead of God? Ve'atem, and you, chashavtem olai ra, you thought of me bad, you intended me harm. Elohim, Hashem chashav oletoivo, intended it for the good. Leman asois kehayom hazeh, to be able to do as it's clear as this day. Lahachyois amrov, to sustain a big nation. I translate it according to what it's written in Rashi and what is the simple pshat. In other words, the question, Atachas Elohim ani, am I instead of Hashem? Rashi explains that if I wanted to do bad to you, can I do it? You see that you wanted to do bad to me and you couldn't do it. So if I'm one and you are 10 and you couldn't do bad to me, so how can one do bad to 10? So you were 10 and I was 1 and you couldn't do bad to me, so how can I myself do bad to you? That's what Rashi explains. And for normally, you think that Yosef is saying that I have no intention to do bad, and Yosef technically seems to be like he forgives them. But if you take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya says that Yosef never forgave him. Yosef tells a lot of different interpretations. He says, how can I do you harm? You wanted to do bad, I want to do good. But eventually, Yosef does not forgive him at all, according to Rabbeinu Bachya. And he says that because Yosef doesn't ever say, Mochu lachem, that I forgive you, therefore, we had to suffer with the 10 Aruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs that happened at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, where he says, it's written in the Torah, Megoyne fushim choroi, if a person steals a man and sells him, then that person has to be killed. And where are the tribes that sold Yosef and nothing happened to them? So Nebuchadnezzar decreed that the great men of that generation and those generations are going to be instead of the tribes, instead of the Shvatim. And they accepted upon themselves after going up to heaven and hearing that Hashem actually decreed. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that that all came because Yosef never tells them, Machu lachem, that you are forgiven. He gives them a lot of consolation. He tells them, I fear God, I'm here to support you, don't worry, I won't do you any harm. But he never actually says the words, I forgive you. So therefore, Rabbeinu Bachya comes to the conclusion that Yosef never forgave them. From this Rabbeinu Bachya, you could take and learn that when you ask forgiveness for somebody and that somebody tells you, don't worry about it, it's okay, but he doesn't actually say the words, I forgive you, you should not leave until you hear the words, I forgive you. Because even Yosef, when Yosef tells you, don't worry about it, I'll support you, I'm not instead of God, I'll do. Rabbeinu Bachya still says that the sin was still around because Yosef never said, I forgive you. So too, when you ask forgiveness from somebody and he tells you, you didn't do anything to me, or he tells you, don't worry about it, that is not an answer. You should make sure that he tells you he forgives you, and then it will be forgiven. Because otherwise, there still remain certain consequences, like we saw the Asara Ruga Malchus, like the Rabbeinu Bachya explains. And according to that, we could say that what Sritna Tachas Elokim Ani, it is like the Targum Unculus explains. Targum Unculus actually says, Atachas Elokim Ani, not like Rashi explains that Loshem Bitmiyo, am I instead of God to do you harm? He says, Atachas, I'm afraid of Hashem, which means to say, I can't do anything bad to you because I'm afraid of Hashem. I have Yirah Shomayim, I'm afraid of Hashem, so I cannot cause revenge to you. But that doesn't mean necessarily that I forgive you. So according to this, Hatachas Elokim Ani is not really a question, am I instead of Hashem to do you harm? No, Hatachas, which comes from the word Altira, the Altechos, do not be afraid and do not be fearful. So Hatachas Elokim Ani, I fear Hashem, that's why I don't want to do you bad. You wanted to do me bad, but Hashem wanted to do me good, so therefore I fear Hashem and I won't do you bad because I am Yerei Shomayim. I'm somebody who is fearful of God, which according to this, he's actually giving the Musar. He's trying to say that you thought bad, but Hashem made it look good, so therefore I'm a Yerei Shomayim and you are not fearful of God. Sefer Choivas Alevavos, Duties of the Heart in the Gates of Humility, brings down that if somebody does you harm, spoke to you badly, or suspected you from doing something bad, he brings a story that there was a chassid that used to send them a present and used to say that, thank you very much that you gave me merits. And he explains that a lot of times you come to the Yom HaDin, you come to the heaven after 120, when you come to justice in front of Hashem, and you will see there are things that you didn't do, and it's found as your merits. And the same thing, the opposite. There are people that have a lot of merits, and they'll come into heaven, and they'll ask to see their list, and they'll see that's missing a lot of good deeds they did. And they'll answer that because you spoke bad on somebody, or because you spoke on somebody Lashon Hara, then your merits are gone and given to that person. So every time you speak on somebody bad, then your merits are given to somebody else. And that's why this chassid, every time somebody spoke bad about him or suspected him of doing something wrong and spoke about it, he would send them a gift because he would thank him for the merits that were transferred from that person who spoke Lashon Hara to his account. That's what Duties of the Heart brings down in Shara Yachniyah, in the Gates of Humility, Perek Zayin. So he explains, the Pasuk goes like that. Ve'atem chashavtem olai ra. You thought of making me evil. You thought of me bad. You thought that I am speaking Lashon Hara. But because you thought and you actually said between each other that I'm doing Lashon Hara on you, then Elokim chashav oletoiva. Hashem counted this because you thought of me bad, so then you lost your merits, and Hashem counted this for me for good. How can I punish you when what happened that you wanted to do bad, that turned out to be good for me? The fact that you wanted and you said bad about me, I got merits. I am like this chassid who sent a gift every time somebody spoke bad about him, because now he gets their merits. So, atem chashavtem olai ra. You wanted to do harm to me, you wanted to do bad and speak bad about me. But Elohim, midas adin, Hashem, because of that, when it comes down to 120, Hashem will make it chashav oletoiva, will count this as good for me. Hashem will put this, all these things that you had, all the mitzvahs that you did, Hashem will give them merit to me. Therefore, how can I harm you if I'm getting all these merits because of you. The Ture Teure brings down from the Admoy Ramei Yechil Mostrovtze. He says, Atachas Elokim Ani, am I instead of God? God could make that Gam Zul Etoiva, that when you do something harm, when something looks to be very bad, Hashem is able to change, and He knows exactly that everything bad is really for the good. It's not just lip service or a way to console yourself that it is really for the good, kapara, kapara, kapara. It is really for the good, that the harm itself, Hashem does it only for the good. Here we could see really that you wanted to do me harm, and eventually from that harm itself came out good, that now I became the viceroy and I'm able to support my whole family, this big nation. But if I have to do midah keneged midah, if I have to be hatachas Elohim, I have to be instead of Hashem, and I have to use the midas adin, that means that I have to do you harm, where that harm will come out to be good. So how can I do that? I'm not like Elohim. Elohim is able to make from harm good. But me, maybe if I'm going to do you harm, it's only going to come out harm and not good. So therefore, I cannot be instead of Elohim. I cannot be instead of Hashem. I cannot be instead of Midas Adin, which Hashem is able to make from Ra Toiva. That when we say Gam Zula Toiva, we actually have to mean, and we actually have to know that the thing itself is a Toiva. So Yosef is telling his brothers that you don't have to be afraid of me, because I cannot do what God does. Hashem is able to make from the evil itself good, but I cannot do this. Therefore, you have to worry about Hashem doing it, and you don't have to worry about me. I will feed you, I will support you, and I cannot act that way because it's impossible for me to make you evil and that evil turn out to be good. Only Hashem could do that and not me. The Ponim Yafus brings down in the second interpretation, he says, Atachas Elohim Ani, am I instead of God? My kavod is machul to you. I forgive you completely for my honor, but am I in place of Hashem to forgive? Every time you do a isur, a prohibition, that's ben odom l'chaveroi, that's between man and man, then Hashem does not forgive until you ask forgiveness for the man. But that doesn't mean that if you ask forgiveness for the man and the man forgave you, that you are already clear from Hashem's punishment. You're still required to do tshuva on the portion of Hashem. Man could forgive only what involves man. And true that Hashem does not forgive for a person who sinned until you are able to ask forgiveness from that man. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to ask forgiveness for Hashem. So that's what pshat. My portion itself, I forgive. The portion that you harmed me, I forgive completely. But atachas Elohim anoichi, am I instead of Hashem to forgive the portion of Hashem? The portion of Hashem, you require to do tshuva, you require to repent and ask forgiveness for Hashem, for transgressing the commandments and for transgressing what Hashem tells you to do, or any moral law that it was for Hashem to do, that you have to take up with Hashem. I have no right to forgive Hashem's portion. My portion, I forgive. But Hashem's portion, I have no right to forgive. And the Ponim Yafus says that since the brothers did not do complete tshuva for that sin, that's why the Asara Ruga Malchus, the 10 martyrs, were later punished or later had to take into effect because the brothers did not do tshuva completely. According to the Ponim Yafus, Yosef completely forgave them and there was mechila, not like Rabbeinu Bachya, but the portion of Hashem, there was no mechila completely because they did not do tshuva completely. So on that portion, Hashem eventually punished the Jewish people by taking away from them the 10 martyrs, the Asara Ruga Malchus. We have here a very interesting Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says that Atem chashavtem olai ra, you wanted to do bad. Elohim chashav ole toiva, Hashem made it good to support a huge nation. So the Or HaChaim says, it is equal Somebody that wants to give to drink to his friend a cup of poison, a cup of death, and he gives him to drink a cup of wine. Shem is chayev klum, that he is not guilty at all, v'reim peturim, and they are potur, v'zakoim gam b'din ha'shamayim, and they are not guilty, they are innocent, even in the hands of heaven. Basically, the Rachaim is saying that somebody who wants to kill somebody else, he gives him poison, and that poison turned out to be, let's say, a cup of wine, that a person like that is not guilty, neither in man court, neither in a court here in the earth, nor even a court in heaven. In the heavenly court, he is also exempt. The Panim Yafes, on his first interpretation, Atachas Elohim Anoichi, he actually echoes almost the words of the Rachaim, and he says that Atachas Elohim Anoichi, that am I like Hashem? When you have thoughts to make something wrong, Hashem does not punish you for the thoughts. So you wanted to do something bad to me, and eventually turned out to be good. So you are not punished for the thoughts. The only time you are punished for intending to do something wrong is only if you have intention of avoid the Zorah. If you have intention to commit idolatry, that is the only time that Hashem punishes you for machshava. But doing me harm is not idolatry, so therefore you don't deserve punishment. According to the Panim Yafes, that's what it means to say, Hatachas Elohim Anoichi, by you having bad thoughts about me, do you think that is like having bad thoughts about Hashem? That's idolatry. No, you wanted me. On me, you wanted to make something bad and turned out to be good. But on that, Hashem doesn't punish, because Hashem only punishes on intent when it's intent to do idolatry. Hashem doesn't punish you on intent when you want to do any sin. Hashem only punishes you on intent only when you do idolatry. And here, since you wanted to do me harm and you didn't want to do idolatry, and that turned out to be good, so Hashem does not punish you. And that seems to be almost like the thought of the Or HaChaim. But on both the Or HaChaim and the Panim Yafes, we have a very hard question from the Pasuk on Parshas Matos. Rashi on Parshas Matos, chapter 30, Pasuk number 6, there the Pasuk says that Vimheni Yovia Oisa Bayom Shamoi, you're talking about a Nara, about a young girl who makes a vow that she is not going to do something or she is going to do something. The day that the father hears the vow, he has an option to annul the vow or to let the vow stand. The Torah tells you that if the father decides to annul the vow, then everything that she promised or everything that she prohibited on herself will not stand, and it's void and null. And the pasuk continues, Vashem islach lo, and Hashem should forgive her, kiheni avia oisa, because the father had restrained her, that the father had annulled the vow. So Rashi, which Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph, asks a question that if the father annulled the vow, that means the vow is not standing anymore. So why does she require to have atonement? So Rashi says that's talking about a case where a girl did not know the father revoked the vow, did not know that the father had canceled her vow, and she transgressed her vow. So Rashi is saying that a person like that requires to have atonement. I'll give an example. A girl promises that she's not going to eat chocolate. The father hears about it, and the father decides to cancel the vow. The girl is not aware that the father canceled the vow, and she ate chocolate. She thought it's still prohibited for her to eat chocolate. She decided she's going to eat chocolate. Even though when she ate the chocolate, she was allowed to eat the chocolate because her father had already canceled the vow, and she doesn't have to be aware that her father canceled the vow, but since she thought that she's transgressing her vow, she is required to bring atonement for her intent. Her intent was actually to transgress. True that in fact she did not transgress because her father had annulled the vow, but since her intention was to transgress, she is required to have an atonement. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, when used to come to this pasuk, he used to cry. He used to say, "Uma mishen ischav lechol basar chazir." If a person had intention to eat pig, and eventually he ends up goat, a person like that is required to have an atonement. So much more, a person that wants to eat pig and ends up eating pig, for sure requires to have an atonement. Again, if a person has intention to eat pig, but it turned out to be goat, he is required to have an atonement, the same way as this woman requires of atonement because she had intention to do something prohibited, even though it wasn't prohibited. So too, a person, when he wants to eat pig because he thinks it's prohibited, and this meat that he eats ends up being goat, so a person like that is required to have an atonement. So much so, a person that wants to eat pig and ends up eating pig, for sure requires to have an atonement. That if you intend to do something wrong and ends up being something wrong, for sure you're required to have an atonement. But nonetheless, we see from this Gemara that if your intention is to do something wrong, even though what you end up doing is something right, you're still required to have an atonement. If that is so, we have a question on the Panim Yafas. The Panim Yafas, which by the way is a Gemara, he says that Hashem does not punish for machshava. Hashem does not punish for intent. Only if you have intent of making avoid the zara, idolatry. So how can we reconcile that Gemara that says Hashem does not punish for intent with this Gemara that if you have an intent to commit a sin and you eventually does not commit a sin, that is still considered a sin, b'dei shamayim, and you're required to have an atonement. They reconcile both statements by saying that only if you intend to make a sin and eventually you do not make the sin, you do not make an action for that, then Hashem does not punish you for your intent. But idolatry, if you intend to make idolatry, even though you don't act, the fact that you intended only, that itself is already a sin and you are liable in the hands of heaven. But if you intend to do something, you intend to make a crime, and you actually do something, and you acted upon your intention, and true that eventually that was not a crime, but since your intention was to make a crime, and you acted with that intention, then you're required to bring atonement. What you're basically saying is like this: we have a milchemes hayetzer, we have a fight with our yetzer hara. So if we intend to make a sin and we are not able to make a sin, that we're not required to make an atonement, because that is our fight, unless it's idolatry, that even by machshava itself, that itself is a sin. But if you fight if you're Yitzhar and you lose your fight and you end up making a sin or what you think is a sin, even though it's not a sin, you're required to have an atonement. But the Or HaChaim is for surely hard. The Rachaim says that if somebody gives a cup of poison, wants to give a cup of poison, and eventually acts upon it, and he gives them a cup of wine, that a person like that is not required to have an atonement. How is it possible that a person like that is not required to have an atonement? Since we see in the Gemara in Kedushin that if you want to eat pig, you think you're eating pig, required to have an atonement because your intentions were bad, or if you want to make a promise, you intend to eat chocolate and you don't know that it's not prohibited to eat chocolate anymore, you think it's prohibited, you're required to have an atonement. So how is it possible that you're not required to have even an atonement b'dei shamayim? I understand that you cannot punish a person b'dei adam in a court of law because there was no harm done to that person. But how can you not punish b'dei shamayim? How can you not punish in heavenly court if says clearly v'ashem yislach lo, that even though you wanted to make a sin and it turned out to be not a sin, you still require to have an atonement. So what difference is that case from the case here that the brothers wanted to sell Yosef or wanted to kill Yosef and eventually turned out to be good, that they not required to have an atonement even by the hands of heaven? Sefer Arve Nochal asks this question, and he says that, you know, when Hashem punishes you for machshava, when you acting between you and Hashem, that's when Hashem punishes you for machshava, when you do an action. But if you acting between man and man, and you intend to harm a person, but eventually you do not harm this person, since your actions were good, and your machshava, Hashem does not punish for machshava between man and man until you actually do an action, and your action turned out to be good. So he says, in that case, we do not punish you. If you acting towards Hashem like a prohibition, ben adam lemakoim, between man and God, for example, if you're trying to eat pig, where eating pig is a prohibition between man and God, or you want to transgress your vow, which is also a prohibition between man and God, then since Hashem knows your thought and you act towards that thought, even though your actions were okay, but since you acted and you wanted to transgress the word of Hashem and you did action on that, then Hashem punishes you for your machshava because you did the action. In other words, since you had an action associated with a mitzvah of Hashem, then Hashem would punish you. But if you're doing an action against men, even though your machshava was bad, but since you're only guilty for doing the action, so there, if you do not harm the person, you actually do a tova, then Hashem does not punish you, and you're not chayev b'dei shamayim, you're not chayev by the heavenly court. Sefer Ohel Yaakov wants to say that the difference is that here you wanted to have only Yosef harmed, and eventually out of this came out that the whole population was supported. The difference is that you thought olai lera, you thought on me, on Yosef harm, and your deed caused la'achayois amrav, to support a huge nation. So it comes out that in comparison to the crime that you wanted to do, that you wanted to make a crime by machshava, and your action was actually maybe punishable because you wanted to make a crime on me. But eventually, because of your crime, was able to come out la'achayois amrav, that a lot of people survived because of your crime. Your crime is outweighed by all the goodness that came out of the crime. So therefore, your crime is void, because of all the merits that you get from supporting the whole nation, that you get residual merits because you are the ones who set the whole chain of events into motion. That by you selling me, I was able to become the chief over Egypt, and like that I'm able to support this nation. So your crime for selling me is voided by all the goodness that happened, that I am now able to support this whole huge nation. But according to this, it's still questionable that yes, you have more merits than you have sins, because the population now being supported over is greater than the harm that we wanted to do to you. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean that you're not required to have an atonement and you're not required to have a kapara. Then how can the Arachaim say still that you potter b'dinei Adam, that you're exempt from a human court and you're exempt from a heavenly court? Shalosh Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak in Yor Yadaya Chelik Aleph Siman Ches O Zayin, he makes an interesting chiddush, he makes an interesting innovation. He explains like that: if I want to make a sin, I have intentions to make a sin, and I end up doing something permissible, then I'm required to bring an atonement. But if I want to make a sin and I end up doing a mitzvah, then I'm not required to make an atonement. So he explains, by eating pig or by swearing something, since I wanted to make a sin and I end up eating goat, which is something permissible, then I'm required to have an atonement, because my actions did not go above my machshava, my thought. But if I want to make a sin and I end up making a mitzvah, then my mitzvah that I make supersedes my intention, and then I'm not required to have an atonement anymore. So since by Yosef, they threw, they wanted to make a sin, but eventually it came out to be a mitzvah, because eventually they were able to support Amrav, to support the huge nation. So comes out that your intention was superseded by your action, and your action was good because it ended up being a mitzvah, because supporting a huge nation, that's a mitzvah. True, your intention was bad, but eventually came out a mitzvah out of it. Since it came out a mitzvah out of it, that supersedes your intention, and then you're not required to have an atonement. You're only required to have an atonement when you make an action that's permissible, that's neither here nor there, that's not a mitzvah. Like eating goat. Like your intention was to eat treif, to eat pig, and you ended up eating goat, that by you eating goat, your action does not supersede your bad intention. But if you end up making a mitzvah, even though your intention was bad, you still fulfill the mitzvah, and you do not need an atonement. The Pardes Yosef gives the most beautiful answer. He says, true, when a person wants to commit a sin and he ends up not committing a sin, that a person like that requires to have an atonement. But what would happen if a person wants to commit a mitzvah, and even though he's misguided and it's not a mitzvah, but eventually ends up being a mitzvah, does he require to have an atonement or not? Obviously, he does not require to have an atonement, because if you're punishing him for the thought, his thought was to make a mitzvah. And if you're punishing him for the action, his action is to make a mitzvah. So that's what he explains. Here, the brothers, when they sold Joseph, or they wanted to kill him, they really thought that this is the halacha to do. They really thought that they are right in doing this. So they really thought that this person is guilty of death. And they thought that killing Yosef is really a mitzvah. However misguided it was, but that's what they thought. So their machshava, their thought, their intent was to make a mitzvah, because they thought they're doing the right thing. So if you want to make a mitzvah, and eventually they ended up making a mitzvah, because eventually they kept Yosef alive, and Yosef was able to support the whole nation, which ended up being a mitzvah. So it comes out the brother's intention was to make a mitzvah, and eventually they do a mitzvah. In a case like that, you're not guilty neither bidei Adam, neither by man, nor by heaven. You're not guilty by man because eventually you did good. You didn't give him the poison, you gave him the cup of wine. You're not guilty by the hands of heaven because you didn't want to transgress Hashem. You wanted to make a mitzvah. You thought that the right thing to do is to kill him, that is a mitzvah. So you wanted to make a mitzvah, and you ended up making a mitzvah, that you're not guilty neither by hands of man nor by hands of heaven. Since your intention was to serve Hashem, that was your intent, and eventually you end up serving Hashem, then you didn't do anything wrong. All the steps of your action, the intent and the action, were for mitzvah, were for the name of Hashem. Then you're not required to have any atonement. By the case where you want to eat pig, you want to transgress Hashem, you want to sin. Or the case where you transgress your vow, you wanted to transgress the vow. True, that eventually you didn't do anything wrong, but you are punished because of your intention. But hey, you intended to make a mitzvah, and eventually you end up doing a mitzvah. So in a case like that, you're not chayef. And that's what Rachaim is to say, where it's a case of a person wants to put somebody to death because you believe the person deserved death, and eventually you end up giving a cup of wine, and the cup of wine ends up being something good, which is actually a mitzvah. So then you're not guilty, neither by the hands of Hashem, nor by the hands of man. And Hashem Yisborach should help that now that we finish Sefer Bereshis, and now, which in timeline of Sefer Bereshis, we are beginning our exile, And we see that the beginning of the exile was because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. The fight between Yosef and his brothers, that's why we went down to Egypt, and that's where our exile began. And we know that the Beis HaMikdash now is destroyed still because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. So Hashem Yisburg should help that every Jew should say to the other one, he's moichlim, he forgives for everything that he did bad. And we should come to Hashem and ask mechila, ask forgiveness for all our sins. And if that will happen, then the sinas chinam between us will be lifted. And then Moshiach Tzidkenu will come, Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Bimheru Beyomeinu, Amen.